Welcome to our February 27th, 2024 weekly devotional. Our scripture starts out saying, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." In the context of this, I'd like to consider these questions. Who owns your heart? To whom have you yielded your heart, your mind, convictions, your beliefs? What motivates you? Where do you focus your pursuits? Is there room in your must-do schedule for the needs of others and time for fellowship with Yahweh, for God, studying His Word? Where do you think your heart's condition comes from? Where is it developed from? In Proverbs 23:7, we read, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." The opening verse above is from Yeshua's teaching that we often call the Beatitudes. He had this to say of heart fruit: "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush." I think our pursuits in life are a composite, often complex, of the things we choose to study, view from a broad spectrum, profess, act upon, play with, our family influences, persons of our associations, and much, much more. We start out as a lump of clay on life's potter wheel, and at some point we are formed into a near unalterable finished product. And as time and habits dry our clay, we become difficult to reshape into any different form. The heart is as such. This is why Yahweh said he would take away our stony hearts and give us hearts of flesh. His words in Ezekiel chapter 36, where Ezekiel tells of his future plans for Israel following their calamitous failures and their backslidden history, including the following scriptures: "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God." I count seven times here where Yahweh says, "I will." And it seems to me that since he is the master potter, that he alone can remake our hardened clay into supple and useful material that he will further use for the work of his purpose. How does that apply to us? I think we now live in a society of hardened clay losers. We, like ancient Israel, have really messed up our lives and collectively our world. If you think not, you have not looked around you. Read the news. See the corrupt and immoral debauchery we have become as a society. If you disagree, that's on you, because the Bible clearly underscores what I just said. That is, unless Yahweh's word is not your compass. If Yeshua had not come to rescue us and instill his Holy Spirit within our hearts, we would be a lost, stone-hearted, hopeless people. Some yet are. Living in the reality of our times, which the Bible implies are as in the days of Noah, it can be difficult to deal with the forces of darkness and the evil that surrounds us and continually presses us. Even Yahweh's best spokesmen grew weary in their duties for Yahweh's cause. For example, Elijah, following his destruction of Jezebel's 450 prophets of Baal, fled from wicked Jezebel when she threatened him that she would make him as one of the prophets if she gets her hands on him by this time tomorrow. So he now scared from just a very previous act of great boldness, and now he's running for his life because he could see in his own imagination what she was going to do to him. So while he's sulking in the wilderness, considering his grave circumstances, Yahweh essentially told him to shape up, for I, Yahweh, have 7,000 in Israel who have not bent their knees to Baal. You can see this in 1 Kings chapters 18 and 19. And also then, when Jeremiah was stressed and frustrated with the seemingly prosperous evildoers and their apparent happiness, a despicable people he had to deal with, and he was venting his frustrations to Yahweh. For example, he said, "Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Let me talk with you about your judgments." This is kind of humorous as I read it. He says, "I want to ask you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously?" In other words, questions that he has, because what he sees going on just doesn't seem right to him. And Yahweh said, "If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan?" Yahweh here is saying, if you think things are bad now and you don't like it the way it is and you're complaining, what are you going to do when it really gets rough? It seems Yahweh is more concerned with our attitude and trust in him than he is with our whining. It appears he is not impressed with our kicking the slats out of our crib when we lack patience and become weary in the struggles of life. In Psalms chapter 38, many of the concerns and perplexities Elijah and Jeremiah wrestled with were also experienced by David. Even when he acknowledged his own sins and foolishness, some of his words were, "I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day, for my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh, and I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart." Then David concludes, "Do not forsake me, O Lord, O my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation." In the end, like David, we must keep our perspective. We must always know where our help and our strength comes from. Thus, David proclaims in Psalms 27, "Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And then in the closing verse in the book of Habakkuk, there is a verse that has always meant so very much to me. And here the prophet says, looking at things through a very desperate set of conditions, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." If we can keep that perspective and keep our eyes focused on our Messiah and the work that he's doing, and if we're patient, and if we're looking forward to the end instead of dealing with some of the problems and frustrations of life and disappointments that we experience along the way, we'll be just fine as long as we don't lose the focus of where we're headed and time will soon pass by, and we'll be at that place where we can hopefully hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."